Hello, welcome to Monday Night Therapy with John and Todd. My God, the sports world needs therapy tonight, does it not, Todd? Does it not? Does it not, Todd? I couldn't find. I wanted a lollipop ring that I was going to find and stick on my finger, and I didn't. I was unsuccessful. Just so everybody knows, I am exhausted tonight because at 6 o'clock a.m. this morning, I got a 911 text from a customer, and I have systems down. They're still down. It's been a really frustrating day. So if I go off and I fall asleep in the middle of this, that's there you go. I'm just basically disclaiming everything I'm going to say ahead of time. Caitlin Clark, you know what? We know that people expect Nebraska, 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 but by God, sometimes sports is juicy. And this is probably the juiciest thing that's come along in quite a while. And it's just been Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and classlessness and sportsmanship and in your face and out of your face and what are you supposed to do? And the nation got introduced to women's college basketball at the highest level. What's your first thought of all this, Todd?
My first thought about all this? I got a lot of thoughts, but the first thought I've had is get over it. You know, it's, you know, would we be hearing this if these were, if this was a guy that was doing it to another guy? I mean, if at the end of the game tonight, when UConn just, you know, blows San Diego State off the court, If some guy from UConn, you know, does this, you know, come on, we wouldn't get half the pushback.
You don't think so?
No.
No, we wouldn't, would we?
No, because guys do that crap all the time. And, you know, you see, you know, this, you know, how many times have we seen that at football games? Some, you know, wide receiver, you know, catches a touchdown pass, or they stand there with their arms crossed, you know, posing like that, and then they go, you know, the old whisper thing, shut up. You know, guys do this stuff all of the time. And, you know, this is the double standard that exists. First of all, hell of a basketball game.
Yeah, it was.
You know, the semifinal game that and God, you know, I'm the last one that wants to say anything good about the Iowa Hawkeyes. And you know, but you know, there was a David Goliath thing that was happening there. And up until last night, you know, that was the most watched women's college basketball game of all time. Because the nation finally started waking up to who this Caitlin Clark is. From Des Moines, Iowa, Dowling Catholic High School, that, you know, pulls up and shoots threes from darn near half court, and makes them a lot.
Yeah, without even getting set ahead of time. That's what's pretty amazing about it.
It is crazy. And, you know, so the nation wakes up and sees her. She captures the imagination and the fancy of some of the national pundits. I mean, you know, Charles Barkley is singing her praises, and some of those other people, you know, they're talking about her as a player. She was named, you know, the Naismith winner. She was named the player of the year. I mean, all of this recognition. And then she goes out against South Carolina, the defending national champions. Everybody had South Carolina picked to win the tournament, you know, running away. And she lights them up for 41 points.
Right.
Okay. Now, the other thing is, we all know that Caitlin Clark is full of herself, and she talks trash.
Right. Everybody in the Big Ten is aware of her presence.
Exactly.
And how she handles herself on the court.
You know, again, and I would say this too to Big Ten fans. So, you know, would we be having those conversations about Caitlin Clark if she was a guy? No. Which goes back to the whole thing, and this is where I guess I'm an old FUD. I hate trash talking. I never thought trash talking should be part of any sport. I think it's BS. I think you shut your mouth and you do your job. That's
really?
That's the way I've always been. The first time I ever experienced trash talking was when I was in eighth grade during a wrestling match, and a guy was trash talking me. And he got into my head so doggone fast. But that's, you know, really about the only time it ever happened until I got older, you know, and was goofing around with people. But, you know, they talk about Larry Bird being one of the greatest trash talkers of all time. And again, you know, one of the greatest trash talkers of all time. Did I like Larry Bird? Yeah, I did like Larry Bird, but I'm not a basketball fan either. You know, I liked Magic Johnson. Back in those days, I cheered for the Lakers. They were more exciting to watch than the Celtics were.
Okay. I'm going to spring something on you. You see, if you show up ahead of time, I could show you all the graphics I have loaded. Now, I don't. I wish I had a way to play Twitter, you know, tweets with graphics in them. Todd, do you recognize what this is?
Absolutely. I was in the stadium that day, and it pissed me off to no end. That little fancy pants kicker strutted all over the stadium.
For people who are listening to the podcast and not on YouTube, I put up a graphic of 2019 when Keith Duncan, the Iowa kicker, made the field goal against Nebraska and then blew kisses to the Nebraska bench and waved his arms and basically showed off in front of the crowd. What do you think of that, Todd? I mean, that's kind of a trash talking thing. You know what else, Todd? That went on for 20 seconds. Everybody bitched about Angel Reese. Well, she went on about it for 20 seconds and it's horrible. Okay, for the Iowa fans, I know none of them are listening and none of them are here. That went on for 20 seconds. I mean, what do you really think of it?
Easily. It pissed me off. You know, I guess, again, act like you've been there. But, you know, that's of a different generation because, you know, I mean, we read it, you know, on Slack. We you know, we're the two old timers on Slack, John. And everybody, all the younger guys on there, they're all perfectly okay with trash talk. It's part of the game. You know, that adds something to the game. It's a dimension. Well, you know, we had somebody, you know, you live by the trash talk, you die by the trash talk. So I got.
Okay. My when I first saw Keith Duncan doing that, I thought I was really pissed off too, but I was pissed off he made the field goal. But my second thought was, you know, that guy's going to live with that memory the rest of his life. Where else would you get the chance to run in front of 90,000 angry rival fans and wave your arms and basically say, kiss my ass? I mean, at a certain level, I had a lot of respect. I would love to interview Keith Duncan about that moment, but I had a lot of respect for him doing that. You know, and I used to when I watched the NFL and they always said no celebrations and they flagged everybody for celebrations. And now I think they get a little bit much now, but at the same time, I think it was did the gritty in front of Justin Jefferson for the Vikings. And I loved that. And I loved what happened to Caitlin Clark because I don't like Iowa either.
You know, there's something to be said about celebrating and trash talking and that type of thing. It pissed me off that Keith Duncan did that because they beat us. And I thought he was an asshole. But, you know, here's the thing. And I love how Hawkeye fans try to rationalize, you know, what the difference was between when Caitlin Clark does it and when the Bayou Barbie does it. By the way, that's Angel Reese, the Bayou Barbie. You know, come on. Well, Caitlin Clark didn't single someone out. Caitlin Clark did it to the whole team. Caitlin, you know, that's crap. I mean, Caitlin Clark.
It is. It's excuses about it's my person, therefore I don't care. That's really what this comes down to.
Yeah. You know what? I don't have a horse in the race. And if anybody attacks Angel Reese for what she did, or if anybody attacks Caitlin Clark for what they did, then you don't have much of a life. I mean, it's apparently it's part of the game. And if you're going to mouth off, and you see, that's, I guess, the point that I always kind of live by. If you're going to shoot your mouth off, then you better swallow it when it's coming back your way.
What's funny about that game is everybody complained about the officiating. And I think that I really showed that a lot of people don't watch women's basketball, because every time I watch a women's basketball game, I have no idea what's going on with the officiating. It is usually just so one-sided and bad. And but what's interesting about the officiating is that the way the game was called allowed that one girl, I can't remember her name, to come in for LSU and just shoot the lights out from three. That was, you know, had barely scored before and really just put a dagger in Iowa.
Carson. Was it Justine? Or it was Carson was her last name. Yeah.
Something like that.
She was, that was the turning point in the game. I mean,
yeah,
she came in and just lit it up. You know, officiating's officiating. And Yeah.
Okay. What else we got? Kim Mulkey was on the court. People were screaming about that.
Going into the game, again, you know, I watched most of it. I think I watched I didn't watch the first quarter. I watched the last three quarters because I can't stand Kim Mulkey. I can't stand her. She is a great basketball coach. She is horrible human being in my estimation.
Yeah.
She is a horrible human being. And so I can't cheer for her. You know, it's one of those, you've got to respect the job that she does because she can get kids to play. She really can.
Yeah.
But she's a horrible human being. And she's just like those old bully male coaches, you know, like Bobby Knight and Jim Boeheim and some of those guys. You know, it's kind of like they're so demonstrative. And, you know, they just kind of go on the attack, challenging the referees to make a call against them. I mean, you know, Lisa Bluter, from what I could see on television, the Iowa coach, you know, she hardly got animated the entire game. I mean, you know, there was a lot of emotion in her face and frustration. She said in the postgame conference, hell, she couldn't even have a conversation with the referees at any point in the game because Mulkey was raising such hell over there. And I suppose maybe that's a strategy. I don't know. But, you know, I guess I didn't want Iowa to win and I did not want Kim Mulkey to win. So,
yeah, it was really, that was it. I kind of watched this and I thought, you know, I think it's going to be a good game. It's going to be interesting. Certainly, Caitlin Clark has brought a lot of attention to the sport. But I thought, you know, there's no loser here for me. Matt Hansen says she, Mulkey, grabbed a ref. Here's the thing about this. I think she was able to get away with that because she is Kim Mulkey. I mean, when you watch, listen, there was a whole lot of people that watched women's basketball for the first time to watch that game. And I think this is something that's always happened with women's basketball is there's a great disparity. It's kind of like the NBA when you have the, you know, don't touch the star guy. The women's basketball is very much this disparity between the haves and the have-nots. There's not a lot of parity, although we saw more of it this year.
A lot more parity this year.
When you're Kim Mulkey, you can do those things because you are Kim Mulkey. And I think the sport kind of just caters to you. If you're a, you know, who is the Tennessee? Come on, Pat Summitt.
Yep.
I mean, she could get away with a lot. Gino,
she could get away with a lot too, stomping her foot and that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Gino Auriemma, you know, Gino Auriemma gets away with a lot of crap too.
Because that's just how the sport is. But if you don't watch the sport, then, you know, nobody, you know, people aren't used to seeing it and they don't know what's going on. Linda Wilkins says, Todd, what are we enjoying tonight?
A little Czech beer. Pilsner Urquell, brewed in the Czech Republic. Drank it when I was over there on my Viking cruise a lot. I drank it a lot. And I just bumped into it in my local liquor store and thought, well, I'll have some Pilsner Urquell. Did you know that there is a Budweiser in the Czech Republic that has no relationship to Budweiser by Anheuser-Busch? And they claim that their brewery was started before August Busch started the his brewery. They claim to be the real Budweiser. And in fact, on their packaging, it says the real Budweiser. But there's apparently Anheuser-Busch did a whole bunch to block it from being imported. Can you get that in Wilbur? I don't know. I got it in Lincoln. So drive up.
You know,
to
you
Lincoln.
Probably could ask your beer store to get some.
Yeah.
If you have a favorite beer store.
Well, you know, back to the whole officiating and the coaching. And, you know, what I wanted to say about that is in some respect, you know, people can argue that coaches with that personality type are so intimidating that, you know, it's kind of like being called names by people. You know, you don't want to be called names. You know, you don't, whatever it might be. And, you know, I don't buy the fact that, you know, when people say that Mulkey has earned that right, she hasn't earned that right. I mean, she's won 4 national championships.
Right.
But that does not give her a right to act like a total maniac like she does. She bumped into a referee. She kind of shoved the referee. I think actually the referee was trying to shove her out of the way a little bit. I couldn't figure it out just to get her out of the way. But why she wasn't teed up at that moment,
right,
I got no idea. I saw some overhead shots of her 10 feet on inside, you know, the sideline. You know what? Other coaches are out on the court when the ball's on the other side of the field. The referees don't have eyes in the back of their head. They're not paying attention to what's going on behind them. That doesn't bother me, but.
Linda Wilkins says Clark will be back next year because she is apparently too young to go to the WNBA.
Yep.
I'm so looking forward to that. Let's say, wait, I have more graphics. Let's see. We have this one just in case you don't know what we're talking about. I don't know how you do that. If you're a sports person, you have that one.
Yeah,
and
that's my favorite.
You know, Angel Reese showing where her ring's going to go on her finger. You have this tweet from Robert Griffin III. How it started was Caitlin Clark with the hand in front of the face, and how's it going with Angel Reese with the hand in front of the face? But then there's this one, Todd. The most viewed women's college basketball game on record across all networks, 9.9 million viewers, peak 12.6 million. What's 103% year from year? Is that what that is?
Increase, yeah. I think so.
So, I mean, in the last, like, I don't know how many months. Oh, my God, now I don't know how to get that off there.
Well,
in the last few months, we've seen volleyball have some of their highest ratings, women's basketball, much higher ratings. What do you think is going on that they just decided to – I mean, volleyball didn't have a Caitlin Clark.
Well, volleyball didn't have a Caitlin Clark. But, okay, so volleyball is getting increased ratings, but yet I don't think their ratings this year in the national tournament were as high as they were a year before. I might be wrong on that. I know that – you know, the national media still has not picked up on volleyball the way that, you know, they're starting to with basketball. But I think people are starting to see that women's athletics are exciting. The other thing I think is relevant is that you had LSU playing in the national championship game against Iowa. Neither one of them had ever been in the national championship game. LSU had been in the Final Four a couple of times, but there was no UConn. There was no Stanford. There was no Tennessee, no Notre Dame, no South Carolina. You know, all the big timers were beaten somewhere along the way. And, you know, so I think there was a sense of curiosity by fans. Plus, everybody wanted to see Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark has done more for the popularity of women's basketball in the last 2 weeks than any other women's basketball player ever, ever. She's going to be back next year, and I'm betting she's going to come back one more year. She's too young to get drafted in the WNBA next year. She's got a COVID year. She loves playing at the University of Iowa. She's an Iowa kid. She will rewrite record books.
That is true.
And she'll put some of those records so far out, you know, they'll last as long as Pete Maravich's scoring record has lasted.
I was going to move to a Nebraska comment, but I'm going to take this from Fred Sacco. This rating for the women's basketball was an outlier. It'll settle down next year when there's not a big name player in it. A big name player you couldn't avoid if you accidentally saw ESPN. Fred, you're wrong. Do you know why you're wrong? You're wrong because my theory of why we're seeing more women's sports than people, because people are discovering that women's sports are good, but it's not just that. It's because when you turn on your TV, what is there? College sports way up here, and everything else is poop. I mean, everything else on TV except college sports, just pure poop. That's it. So when you go and you go, I could watch a competitive game between two women's basketball teams, or I could watch this poopy program, I'm thinking that you're going to watch the sports. So that's my theory on it.
The other thing is that the gauntlet has already been laid down. Gina Auriemma said in an interview, next year we'll break that record when UConn plays against Caitlin Clark in the national finals.
All right. We have a Nebraska comment that we're going to have to take from a little bit ago.
I'm ready.
Excuse me. MK asks, love Kaysay. Oh my God, we're doing that again. Love Kaysay Tominaga, but would you guys consider him a trash talker? No, because he's my guy.
I have no idea. I don't know how he runs his mouth on the court. I don't pay attention to that. What I see, and maybe he is. Maybe he is a trash talker. But what I see is a guy that plays with unadulterated joy. I mean, pumping his fists, you know, getting all fired up after he makes a shot, you know, and that kind of stuff. That's joy. That's excitement. And I love seeing that. Is he talking smack, you know, when he's guarding someone or when he, you know, shoots a three over the top of somebody? He might be. I don't know. I don't like it. But, you know, it's part of the game, I'm told.
I think Caitlin Clark handled this as probably better or as well as any human being possibly could have. She did keep her focus on her team. She didn't really respond to Reese directly. She didn't say anything nasty. I mean, she knows what she's doing. And who she reminds me of is Gable Stevenson from wrestling. That guy was a showman. That guy knew what he was doing. He was a trash talker. I've seen that in person, but I think that a lot of times that people go, well, if you can back it up, yeah, I think that's an important part of it, but it's also fun. I mean, I don't know what it is where we look at our athletes and we expect them to be, I don't know, like gentlemen or gentle persons, you know, like they're royalty or something. I don't know. You know, I get it where you can't have trash talking all the time, but sometimes it's fun to watch them interact and have emotion and do stuff during the game.
And what I would also say is Caitlin Clark is good for Nebraska basketball. She's good for Big Ten basketball. I mean, you know, I was clear out in Binkleton, Nebraska. That's in your old stomping grounds, John. Out there at Dundee County Grattan High School. And I think my stream is off. Can you hear me? I was out in your neck of the woods at Dundee County School. I'm okay now. And on the day before the second Nebraska, Iowa, they played that one in Lincoln. And there were girls basketball players out there in Binkleman that couldn't talk about how excited they were to watch Nebraska take on Caitlin Clark in the Iowa. And they don't like Caitlin, but they don't like her at all. But they were pumped up because Caitlin Clark was coming to Nebraska and they wanted to see the Nebraska women whip up on Iowa. Didn't happen, but Caitlin Clark, she sells seats wherever she goes, wherever the Hawkeyes play. She puts people in the seats.
Okay, we're going to move on from this game in a minute. Linda Wilkins says you're breaking up, Todd. It'll come in and out. Fred Sacco says maybe Mulkey will be in the Flashdance reboot. Let's see. And I think Linda says, Todd, do you think she is past her prime? I assume she means Mulkey. I don't know who – I didn't – you know
well,
what I mean?
The maybe two she women means we've Caitlin been talking Clark. About it, we've been talking Mulkey and Clark. Clark is definitely not past her prime. I don't think Mulkey is either. She's home. She wanted to, you know, get out of Texas and go back to Louisiana. She's got another good 5 to 10 years in her. And look for LSU to be back.
Yeah. All right. Charles Hullett says, okay, enough about that game. Yeah, I think we're probably used that up. What about FAU losing to San Diego State on that buzzer beater? Todd just went away. Well, unfortunately, Charles, I didn't get to see the end of that game because Hulu sucks. I tweeted at Hulu at the end of that game saying I canceled your garbage service because my Hulu has been freezing in and out this entire tournament. So I did cancel Hulu, and I did not see the end of that. I mean, I went back and watched, you know, the buzzer beater, but I wasn't able to watch the 2 minutes of the game where I thought FAU had that game sealed up. So that was really – it was frustrating. Did you watch the end of that game, Todd? Or maybe he's not with us anymore. Now I have to carry everything. Okay. Moving along. And he has disappeared. We'll try to bring him back. Are you with us, Todd?
I am. I went to my, I'm hopefully back. Went to my hot spot. Okay. Sorry about that.
Did you see the end of the FAU game?
Nope. So yeah, the clip, the last shot. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care about the tournament, the men's tournament. So
really?
Yeah. I didn't fill out a bracket. If I don't fill out a bracket, I have no rooting interest.
I filled out several brackets, and I know they're all terrible. In fact, my bracket for the Corn Nation contest, I had no teams past the like Elite Eight.
Well, I think that's what's been kind of, that's been kind of cool about it. I mean, there were no number one ranked teams or number one seeds, you know, that got into the Final Four or, you know, whatever. So that's kind of neat. I love to see parity. You always cheer for the underdog.
So Matt Hansen comes up with, so Raiola to Georgia, Dylan Raiola to Georgia. Nebraska is looking at other 24-class quarterbacks now. This whole Dylan Raiola thing has a ways to go. I'm guessing at least another month we're going to be hearing about Dylan Raiola and who he's going to pick. I know Steve Wiltfong is probably the recruiting guy everybody follows, and he keeps flipping things around because – well, Steve Wiltfong probably knows what Dylan Raiola is thinking. He doesn't. Nobody knows what Dylan Raiola is thinking. Everybody is reading tea leaves on this kid. I think he put out a photo with him with Georgia gear on it, and everybody flipped out. And then, what was it, Matt Rhule liked some quarterbacks, guys. I can't remember the guy's name. A four-star quarterback for the class of 24. This stuff will all play out again over time, and we're all freak out at what goes on with it. And again, I keep bringing this up, and I'm going to say it again. It doesn't really have anything to do with the 2023 season. Fred Sexo. That's how bad the brain is working tonight. Forgot. I can't believe I just said that. Fred Sacco says, I hope he goes to Georgia. The quicker he goes there, the quicker he can eventually get into the portal and come here. Here being Nebraska, good point, Fred. What else? Nebraska picked up Gibson Pyle and a three-star offensive lineman. Do you know anything about him, Todd?
I read a little bit about him on Coronation, and I watched his video. You know, they talk about him being a nasty ornery lineman that carries out his blocks up to and maybe even a little past the whistle. So I think getting an offensive lineman out of Texas is huge. I am not an evaluator of talent. I can't sit there and watch, you know, a huddle video or a highlight video and say that this kid's got great this or great that. The one thing I did notice is they have him playing tackle, and a lot of his pancake blocks were against undersized outside linebackers and safeties that came up to play on the edge. So, you know, I don't know what that means. The kid, they say he'll probably be an interior lineman. You want nasty, ornery guys playing in there in that interior line. I'm gonna trust that he's got a good pedigree and he's faced good, solid competition coming out of the Texas high school ranks.
Charles Hullett says he's a real gym rat and he has a high motor, etc. These are the nice things we like this.
A big time lifter, really strong. So.
Oh wait, I was gonna bring up another graphic, Todd. Oh. I didn't show you this one either. So here we have Matt Rhule, apparently with the coach of the Lincoln Stars, and I don't know much about hockey in Lincoln, but apparently the Lincoln Stars, and the coach has this photo with him, I assume this is the coach, but he said that Matt Rhule showed up and he was supposed to do a puck drop, but then he said he stayed there and he took probably 2,500 photos. Rhule didn't turn away a single fan. And he took every single photo that every fan wanted. And the guy is really appreciative. And of course, what Matt Rhule get? Matt Rhule, I bet, got a free hockey jersey. How about that? And you know what that really you know what that means, Todd?
That he got a free hockey jersey?
Well, no, the whole thing there.
Oh, tell me.
I mean, that guy's ingratiating himself to everybody.
Absolutely.
What the hell would he care about hockey players?
Well, he sat down there and watched the game. He's a sports fan. I mean, just like he did at the baseball game the other night, just like he has at basketball games. I mean, you know, he is going to infuse himself into the community and go out of his way. I mean, he's doing whatever he can to rebuild and reinvigorate and recharge the fan base.
Oh, wait a minute. We got, I think, a new guy that looks like he has a Creighton. What is this? That guy looks like he has a Creighton logo. Ted Hilker says, I'm excited about Pyle, the offensive lineman we picked up. Okay, Creighton guy. Let's see what else we got going on here. Whew. Matt Hansen says, do you think Rhule is rebuilding the pipeline? Well, you'd like to hope so, or think that yes, that's the case, because I mean, I think we're going to need it to win. That's really it. I saw somebody make the comment somewhere earlier, maybe it was on Twitter, that you know, Nebraska's really not had that big a problem getting skill position players to come to Nebraska. And I kind of thought about that, and I thought, you know, that's probably not too far from the wrong. But where they've had problem is getting the offensive and defensive linemen to come to Nebraska. And, you know, when you look at teams like Georgia, what did everybody talk about? There was two things everybody talked about with Georgia. Defensive line was like all NFL players and Stetson Bennett. And, you know, if you're going to win championships, we have to rebuild the pipeline.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll call it something new, and then that will be blasphemy and everybody will go insane. Dion Pryor says he's sick of Dylan and family and all their attention seeking and stringing us along. Dion, I would, you know, if I was him, I'd take my time and I'd take all the visits I could. I really would, because this is, listen, in about 2 months for Dylan Raiola, everything becomes serious after that for like ever. And he won't get any time off to actually like go around and do Go Big Red chants at Nebraska baseball games or things like that, because everything is just going to be good. It's going to be really serious. He's going to go into his senior season. You know, people are going to be going, if he has a bad season, his rating will drop, and then people will go, "Oh, he's a bust already." You know, that kind of crap. That's a lot of pressure, I think.
I've never felt like he's stringing Nebraska fans along. I mean, he's showing an interest in Nebraska. And, you know, he's also being recruited by the best football program in the country right now, and by maybe the best head coach of quarterbacks in the country right now. You know, he needs to make a good decision for himself. And I'm glad that Nebraska is, you know, has been, maybe still is, in the picture. And if we get Dylan Raiola, hopefully he lives up to the hype.
Dion comes back with, "You can't tell me with all the visits and jet setting the Raiolas have done that he has zero clue as to where he's going." You know, I can tell you this. I work as a consultant. I have deadlines. I have things I have to get done. And I can tell you that what I tell my customers is, for example, right now I got an email from somebody that I have to do a big update for all the security stuff. It has to be done by June. You know what I'm going to really start worrying about it? It's going to be in the back of my head and I'll be thinking about it. But I'll be thinking about it at the beginning of June to complete it by the end of June. In other words, if the deadline isn't here and I haven't set a deadline, he's probably set a deadline for himself personally. And if that isn't approaching yet, I would just enjoy stuff. And then I'd sit down and go, okay, here's my list of positives and negatives. That's what I do when I'm going to make a decision. I'm not just a rash human being that decides stuff off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well,
I should run for office if I can lie that well.
Yeah,
but I think that if you don't have to make the decision yet, I mean, you don't really have to.
Listen, the fact that Nebraska is still in on the number one ranked recruit in the country in the class of 2024 after six consecutive losing seasons.
Yeah.
And I understand perhaps the only reason that Nebraska got their foot in the door was because his dad's a legacy. I get that. But, you know, Dylan Raiola was up here, you know, for that big recruiting weekend. I haven't heard him say, "I'm not going to Nebraska." But I'm not going to lose sleep about this. I don't care if he comes up next weekend and the following weekend. I don't care. Hopefully, when the time comes, Nebraska gets him.
Linda Wilkins comes in with, "What do you guys think about, I assume, Arch Manning's $3.7 million nil?"
Just goes to show that there needs to be some kind of regulation on nil. And obviously, the congressional hearings last week went absolutely nowhere. Congress doesn't want to get involved in this.
No.
There's a new president for the NCAA, and that's where it's going to have to happen. And there needs to be some kind of regulations put in place. But, you know, the horse is out of the barn, and I don't know how that's going to work.
I guess I look at it, and I kind of look at nil and think about it in the same way that whoever commissioned Michelangelo to paint the Sistine Chapel. That needs some explanation, doesn't it? It basically, you're commissioning somebody as an artist. You didn't say, "I need you to perform the best thing ever. Just make me a really nice statue. Here's some money." Just so happens to be $3.7 million. I mean, you know, Arch Manning, $3.7 million. You know, we're all about free market stuff, right? I mean, maybe not Commie Todd here, but I am. Free market stuff, that is the going market for a quarterback, apparently, of Arch Manning's capabilities. So that's how it's going to be right now. And I mean, you keep in mind that in the back of my head, I have still been going through a lot of 1890s to 1905 newspapers and reading about just how bad things were back then with players and football and things like that. So when I look at nil, and I realize we're living through this right now and everybody thinks, well, this is going to destroy football. It's gone through a lot worse. It's not going anywhere. So I do think that it's a little much. $3.7 million for a guy that has never thrown a college pass.
I do too.
If there's one thing that America has, it's some people have just a lot of money to just throw all over the place.
Yeah, and that's a show for a, you know, that's five more episodes of this show that I could launch into that. I think that that's ruined college athletics. Not ruined. It has caused a lot of problems for college athletics that I don't think needed to happen. And it just flat disgusts me, you know, how much money's out there. But I'm not going to badmouth Arch Manning. Arch Manning, you know, good for him. Like he
Did
needed.
Did you go to Texas?
Yeah, Texas.
Well, can we badmouth him?
Well, he's
stinky old Texas.
Well, you can badmouth him.
Well, I hope he fails. I hope he fails, Todd. He just has his $3.7 million and there's a first Manning failure. Yeah, how about that? Oh, my God. I looked away from the comments and suddenly Linda's talking about Pope Julius II in 1508. Good.
That's your area of expertise, big guy.
Yeah. My exhaustion does not allow my memory to go back here. Okay. Peyton Robb.
Yeah. Boy, that came from left field, didn't it?
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, and you know, it hasn't been in the news nearly as much as I thought it would be after it kind of broke. No. Peyton Robb wrestles at 157 pounds for the University of Nebraska. And going into the Big Ten tournament this year, he was the number one ranked wrestler in the country. Got upset in the finals by Levi Haynes from Penn State. But, you know, still obviously qualified for the Nationals. He was the third seed. He'd only had one loss all year. I'd been critical of his wrestling, you know, until the Nationals. At the Nationals, he really looked good, wrestled hard. But apparently on Friday at the NCAA tournament, he had what he thought was a bruise on his lower leg, and it was incredibly tender, really, really sore. And come to find out after the fact, he was experiencing all kinds of different crazy symptoms. And, he didn't wrestle his fifth place match on Saturday. He medically defaulted out of it. Well, the story is apparently he got some kind. Was it a bacterial infection, John? Am I saying that right?
Yeah. I don't. I should look that up again.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a bacterial infection, and this is a very, very rare illness. But anyway, they got him back to Nebraska, and he's been in the hospital ever since the NCAA wrestling tournament. So that's basically 3 weeks. He's been in the hospital clinging to his life. Now, yesterday...
Necrotizing fasciitis. Something like that.
And so he's been in intensive care. And one of the statistics that's been thrown out is that it's a very rare infection. One in five people die. And they've done like 17 surgeries on this kid's leg. And a lot of it has been to cut out the necrotic flesh, the dead flesh. No, Joel, it's different than a staph, I'm told. There was also an outbreak of staph infection at the NCAA wrestling tournament that came out later. But, you know, wrestling is a contact sport. And, you know, it's been 25 years now that the sport has really tried to clean things up you know, in terms of skin infections, skin diseases, and doing different kinds of checks. But it doesn't eliminate it all. And, you know, here's the thing. And I said this before on this show, that NCAA wrestling tournament is a grind. It is brutal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure that Rob was just thinking, well, I've got a bruise and God dang, does it hurt. And nowhere did anyone expect that it was as serious as it is. But apparently he is on the mend. And I heard Greg Sharp on his show the other day, or yesterday at the Saturday at the baseball game. Apparently there was a possibility that Rob would be getting out of the hospital in the next day or two. But man, this is just amazing. There's a GoFundMe page out there for him. Family's accumulated a lot of medical bills, and you know, you got to feel for Peyton Rob.
You, your next note says Gable Stevenson is back.
Gable Stevenson has entered the World Team Trials. That's going to be wrestled in late April. I hadn't thought about that, John, until you mentioned him earlier in the show. Gable Stevenson, you know, Olympic gold medalist, you know, basically stepped away from the sport, you know, at the end of his junior year in college. Signed a big contract with WWE. I have paid no attention. I don't know if he's done anything with WWE. No clue. But he has entered the 285-pound weight class at the World Team Trials. And I'd heard rumors that he might be coming back. So that's pretty exciting. That's that could be something if Gable Stevenson's going to come back.
Frank Solich.
You know, we were sitting here. What do we got? What's new in Nebraska football? Well, Frank Solich is coming back for the spring game.
And you didn't even want to go. You didn't want to go to the spring game, and now you could go see Frank.
I probably will stand up and clap until my hands bleed.
Really?
Well, the guy got a raw deal.
Yeah, well, he did get a raw deal. He did.
You know, what are your thoughts? Are you glad that Frank Solich is going to be back so Nebraska fans can cheer for him?
Yeah, I am. I think that it would be a disservice. We all know that we can go away at any time. You know, I'm kind of proof of that here to tell you again. But that if Frank Solich wouldn't have come back to Nebraska for some level of recognition, I think would have been very sad, not just for him. Well, it would have been sad for us. Let's be honest. I don't think Frank Solich probably needs this, because Frank Solich went on and had a good career and honestly became kind of legendary to the University of Ohio, who were so bad that if you remember, our friend Roger Aiden, who's a professor there, said that fans used to show up for the Ohio University games and leave at halftime because they wanted to see the band. But they'd stay until halftime, watch the band, and then they'd leave the games. Frank Solich made them into something they could at least watch that was football. So I don't think this is for Frank so much as it is for us, and I think it's a good thing. I think we all need this to go on. That's the part of the curse that is going to be broken. There's not a curse on Husker football. Our problems in the last 20 years is because we've made horrible, horrible personnel decisions.
Well,
horrible. It's not because we fired Frank Solich, but there is a part in our heart that has a hole in it, and I think that is Frank Solich returning to Nebraska.
Well, you know, Trev Alberts even appealed to him. You know, he couldn't – apparently they tried and tried and tried to convince him to come, but it wasn't until Trev Alberts said something, you know, relative to the fans need it. And I would agree with you. I think that there's a lot of fans that it's important to them. I think what it is a lot of fans want to believe that Frank will think good thoughts about Nebraska fans or something like that, you know? Or maybe it's just the fact that Nebraska fans have not been able to show their appreciation, you know, for what he did for the University of Nebraska.
Beetle B said he was an awesome coach under Tom Osborne. And honestly, yeah, he was. I mean, the recognition there is for all the years he spent at Nebraska, not just being the head coach. And that's, I think that kind of gets lost, is that he was a fullback, Todd, that we're bringing back apparently to Nebraska. So maybe he can bless the field for fullbacks too. But okay, we're going to skip over the next note I made. Let's go to baseball, because we're actually 9 minutes left and we've actually covered quite a bit. What happened with baseball?
They played two games on Saturday down in Texas. They beat Texas A&M Corpus Christi in the first game. I think it was something like 12-1. And that's a team that beat them twice last year. Then they lost the second game to Abilene Christian. Which it was a frustrating game to listen to. I can't remember the final score, but Abilene Christian's a legit team. They're a good one. So they split on the weekend. They play down at Kansas State tomorrow night. And then they go to Michigan for Easter weekend, which will be their second Big Ten series of the year. Michigan's playing really well. I got to see them when I was down in Houston, but they're playing really well right now, and it'll be a good challenge for Nebraska.
Okay, softball lost 2-3 to Michigan.
Yeah. Michigan's tough. So, you know, Nebraska softball team's going to still be okay. They'll be fine.
Dion comes back and says Osborne should still be coaching at Nebraska. That's, you know what? I will say this about Tom Osborne. Tom Osborne knew when to quit.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many of those, like Bobby Bowden. By the time Bobby Bowden quit at FSU, they wanted him to go. wanted him to, please, Bobby, could you be done now? And Tom Osborne went out at the top of his game. I mean, he really did a really good job of that. Nobody was around saying, no, you need to go now, Tom. Nobody did that. Let's see. Oh my God, you guys with your hatred of Little Red. I need to do a video about that. I don't understand the hatred for Little Red. Let's see. I'm going to show another graphic, Todd, and we're probably going to finish off the show with this maybe. But the other day, yesterday actually, the Nebraska football, the Twitter account and on Facebook posted this graphic. And if you're on the podcast, it was a tweet that said, Happy 402 Day, and all it was for April 2nd. But the graphic has a big 402 on it, and it has pictures of Terrence Crawford, Warren Buffett, Malcolm X, and Gabriel Union. And why I'm showing this is because I went out and looked at the social media contents, particularly on Facebook, and people went apeshit on this. They went crazy. They were like, why wasn't there a 308 day? Because for you, those of you that don't know, Nebraska has two area codes. They have 402 where Lincoln and Omaha, and then 308 is pretty much the rest of Nebraska, I think past Grand Island or something. And I grew up in western Nebraska, and we are always like, you people completely forget that we exist out there where all the urban people are. So the angry people with the they didn't understand why Warren Buffett was on there. People complained, but somebody called Terrence Crawford a bum.
Well, okay. So next March 8th, the athletic department can have a happy 308 day. Now, here's my guess. I was thinking about this. Why those four people? Because all four of them were born in the 402. Am I right?
Yes. Yeah. Malcolm X is from Omaha. Warren Buffett's from Omaha.
Bud Crawford from Omaha. Gabriel Union from Omaha. There I
go. If they have a 308 day, they could put me on it.
They could put you in it. They could put Garrett Nelson.
They could.
Buffalo Bill Cody.
Buffalo Bill. They could. They could. Yes.
He's from North. Well, he was at North Platte.
Well, that's 308. That's at 308.
They could put Sitting Bull. He hung out up by Shadron for a while.
He did. Yep. They could put Danny Woodhead on it.
Danny Woodhead.
Okay.
The king of the 308.
Ted Hilker, the Creighton guy, comes in.
Jeff Kinney.
Jeff Kinney. That's right. But I think he was from McCook.
McCook and Governor Ben Nelson.
Linda Wilkins asked, is Garrett going to get drafted? Garrett Nelson, I think he looks like a stud. I honestly don't think he'll get drafted, but I haven't paid attention to the NFL draft that's coming up soon. But, you know, I'll tell you what, I think when Will Compton went into the NFL, all of us looked at that and said, Will Compton isn't going to play in the NFL. He's not that good. And then Will Compton had a pretty decent, like, I don't know, was he in the NFL for like 10 years or something? A pretty long time.
Yeah, he had a pretty good career.
Yeah, so that shows what I know. One more thing we're going to touch, Bob. But see, I'm running out of brain. I didn't start with much. Monte Cristo was Scott's Bluff 308. There you go.
There you go.
Jill Biden, and I don't mean to get into politics, but Jill Biden today said she wants to invite Iowa and Caitlin Clark to the White House along with LSU for the national title celebration. And I mentioned that I am brain dead. That has to be one of the most brain dead ideas that I can think of. I'm not going to support left or right because I think both of these, when you get into that stuff, you become so biased, you forget that most of these politicians, I agree with Charles Barkley when he says all these people are terrible, but that is just the dumbest idea I can think of.
Well, you got to understand the root of that, where that comes from. Back in 1994 at the National Boys and Girls Club Convention that was held in Philadelphia, Jill Biden gave the keynote address. And it was at that conference that Jill Biden introduced the whole philosophy of give a trophy to everyone. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, getting second place. And so, you know, from that day forward, you know, we call that, you know, getting a Biden. You know, Biden's.
Are you serious? Are you making this up?
Google it. And
okay.
And so, what has happened in our culture is that, you know, the important part is that you play and that you try and that you give your very best effort at all times. And when you do that, you get a Biden.
Oh, God.
And so everybody's happy. And I'm sure that Dr. Jill was probably watching, you know, the Iowa team at the end of the game. And, you know, they played so, so, so hard. And, you know, they don't get invited to the White House. And LSU does because they're the winners. And it's not fair that just the winners get invited to the White House. We need to give him a Biden.
God, it's just terrible. Todd, I'm going to end this show. I'm going to tell you all a story about participation trophies. Would you like to hear a story about participation trophies?
Yeah.
That took long enough. Okay. Here's the thing. I was a soccer coach for 10 years. I coached little kids soccer. Parents let me coach their kids in soccer. No, I did not swear at them at the top of my lungs. Believe it or not, back in those days, I had a clean mouth some of the time. But for 10 years, I gave out participation trophies. And it bothers me when people our age complain, oh, look at these kids and their participation trophies. Well, they didn't make those up. We forced those things onto them, number one. But in that entire 10 years, I can never remember a single kid that ever came up to me and wanted their participation trophy. They all came up to it and they got it. Now, I can remember very specifically some kids that would look at me and go, why am I getting this? I didn't win anything. And I thought, in the back of my head, I thought, oh, thank God, humanity's going to go on. I had one kid look at me and say, I don't want this. And I said, you got to take it. And he looks at me and he goes, I didn't win anything. I don't want a trophy. And I looked at him and I said, kid, one of the things about life growing up is learning how to deal with all the crap that comes along with it. You have to take this trophy because I don't want 30 of these in my garage. And he looked at me and he grabbed it out of my hand and he said, fine, and walked away. And that response from that kid was more common than any kid that ever wanted any one of those participation trophies. I think kids are really smart about that stuff. And they look up and they go, why are you adults so stupid? That's literally mostly the response I got from them. So the next time when you look down and you go, oh, those kids and their participation trophies, just remember they didn't make that shit up. We did that to them.
You're right.
We did that to them. So I looked at Jill Biden's thing and I thought, what? You invite the winner because they won. It's kind of insulting to the winner that you want to invite the loser with them. Like my kids always remind me, second place is first loser. And then usually I'm not very good at things because I'm old and dumb anymore. And then they kick my ass at everything. And then they point at me and go, loser, because they enjoy it. All right. Is there anything else we're missing?
I don't think we're missing anything.
Well, we're missing the national title game.
I just think it's kind of funny how you're the one that's been called woke.
Have I been called woke?
You've been called woke.
Oh, my God.
John, you were early to woke.
Really?
Good
that
night,
says
John.
Walk. That says walk. See that? Yes. Linda says, you, John, you were early to walk. W-O-K, like a, you know, a wok. You cook
a cooking utensil.
Yes, yeah. A cooking utensil.
Which is Chinese. Communist.
Okay, let me look really through the comments now you say that. Fred Sacco says, my friends and I got participation ribbons after a track meet in 1986. We threw them out the window of the bus on the way home. The idea is trash. I don't disagree. I think a lot of it's really kind of dumb. I think it's really like setting people up for failure later in life. Okay. Amy Stinkle comes, Stunkle, I'm sorry, I'll try this again. Amy Stunkle says, I remember getting a skunk trophy for getting last in a league 2 years in a row as a kid. I don't think you could do that anymore. I think, I want to say we started giving out, when we did our Pinewood Derbies and Scouts, we gave away like the trophy to the worst car and you know, people nowadays would look at you and go, you can't do that. You're making fun of them or you're shaming them too much. And I'm kind of like, I get that. I got a lot of that when I was young. So, okay. Is there anything else, Todd? There's a national title game going on.
Yeah. Nope. I got nothing, man.
Neither do I. And we're going to go all fall over, probably get texted at 6 a.m. wondering why this system isn't working anymore. And this company's going to be really upset.
You better get your beauty rest, big guy.
Okay. Good night, Todd.
Good night, John.